Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible. Incredible. Omnipotent. Omnipotent.
Everyone, welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. You have with us hosts Alan and Francine Fosdick, and we are so fired up about tonight's show. We have with us ministers Mark and Susan Knopf. Oh my gosh, they are such a blessing to the kingdom of God. You know, as we know, so many people are so intrigued with the supernatural. But I want to share something with you. Not all things are good within the supernatural. And we're going to talk a little bit about certain things like familiar spirits. How about some ghosts? Okay, that seems to be a real big phenomenon these days. Let's get into the ghost tours and so forth. But then we're going to talk about the truth of it all. How about signs, wonders, and miracles? We're going to talk about that too. So join us, and you know what? I want you to get a pen and paper because you're going to write a lot of stuff down. I can just feel it in the spirit. I want you to, the first thing to write down is truethblessingsministries.com. That's where you're going to find a lot of information about Susan and Mark, their schedule, conferences, if they're going to be in your area. I advise that you just after the show, I want you to contact them. I want you to share with them what's going on in your life, how the show impacted you. And you know what? Let's just get started. Hey there, Mark and Susan. How are you?
Hello. We're doing good. How about you?
Oh, I tell you what. We are so excited that you both are with us tonight on Upfront in the Prophetic. I'm excited about just everything that's going on in the world today. I'm excited about what you guys are going to share because, you know, we hear a lot of things about, especially where Alan and I have our ministry in Gettysburg, we hear a lot about the ghost tours and so forth. And a lot of people are just like drawn to that, the supernatural part of that. And I want you to start off, Susan. When you were growing up, you weren't raised in a Christian home, but you had a prophetic gift, but you really didn't know you had a prophetic gift at that time. And a lot of times what the enemy will do, and we're not going to focus on you know, Satan or anything, because he really doesn't have anything to stand on. Hallelujah. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. But we find that a lot of times the enemy will go after those that have a very strong gift and try to distort it. Tell us a little bit about what happened when you were growing up and just started getting into some things that you shouldn't have.
Right. When I was a child, you know, my mom was always a Christian and serving the Lord and put me on the church bus and sent me off to the Baptist church and read me all those Bible stories, and very dear to my heart. But I was not taught in the church that we attended about the fullness of the gospel. I mean, I was taught the Bible stories and the salvation message, and that as we were growing up, as I was a teenager, I started to get with my friends, and some of the popular things to do at the time were to play with the Ouija board or tell the scary ghost stories at night. And, you know, some of it we thought was fun, but one night we played a little game where you were supposed to look in a mirror and recite something, and I was alone with two of my girlfriends, and I repeated what they told me to say in the mirror. And that night, we heard a door open, and we heard footsteps enter the house, heard them go into the basement, and we hurried up and locked the basement door. We were alone, so we called the police, and they came out, and no one was in the home. So we knew that night that somehow we had opened a door. And from the time I was a child, I knew things were going to happen. I didn't know how I knew, and it scared me because I knew. I would know we were going to be in a car accident before it happened, and then it happened. And so it was something that was very frightening to me that I did not understand.
Sure, sure. And things even went to where when you were messing around with the Ouija board, there were some dates and times that came out. And I want to mention this because there's a lot of kids out there, a lot of teens that are messing with this, and it's very dangerous. Do you recall the time when there was an accident involved and your friend thought it was going to be her because of messing around with the Ouija board?
Yes, one night we were asking it questions, and we began to ask it who was going to win the state championship ball game for our high school. And she was traveling to Columbus, Ohio, driving. I was riding a school bus to get there. But it spelled out a name. It spelled out a young man's name, and it said a certain time, and it said like 11:30 p.m., and it spelled out radio, and it spelled out car accident. And so she thought that she was going to perhaps get in a car accident. And so she hurried up to get home before 11:30 p.m. And that night came and went, and nothing much happened. But she came to me later and said, I realized exactly, you know, who the young man's name was. She said, I forgot about him, but he's an old friend of the family, a little bit older than us. And then it was just a little bit later that we got news that that young man had died. He died at 11:30 p.m. They believe he was changing radio stations, and his car went off a cliff, and he died. But I realized I wasn't playing a simple game, that we were playing with something that was literally answering, and it was answering things that I did not want to know. And it was that was a turning point for me. I threw the Ouija board away at that time.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, the Word of God says in Hosea 4:6 that people perish for lack of knowledge. And this is one of the reasons, too, why I really wanted you on the show, because we're hearing a lot about zombies and, vampires and so forth. And even books that are out there that are written for little toddlers that have such demonic pulls within the spirit, and there's such power in the name of Jesus, and I think that's the issue here, is that so many people are looking for that edge, for that power, not knowing that receiving Christ as the Lord and Savior and receiving the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, what power is that, you know? It's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, so tell us, because you, from there, you got married, and I apologize. I want to go back to, it was Mark that wasn't raised in a Christian home, or was Mark raised in a Christian home?
That's correct. A little bit of faith. I mean, they knew they believed in God, but he didn't attend church on a regular
basis. No, not on a regular basis at all.
Okay. And the reason why I wanted to get that clear, too, because the story will evolve into how this turns out in such a victorious way. So, Susan, you got married. Things didn't look good. Tell us, go from there.
Yeah, I married a high school sweetheart, had two children with him, and We were married for 10 years. I attended a little Baptist church at the time, and I had my oldest daughter, my firstborn. She was born with two brain tumors, and she had upwards of 30 seizures a day. The doctors said that she would not live to be a year old, that they were inoperable, and there was nothing that they could do. And although I knew the Lord, it was then that I really began to cry out to him. You know, it was a little bit different when you go to the altar and you repeat a prayer and then when you are seeking him personally. And I had taken her to the best doctors that I could, and I could do no more for her other than go to my knees in prayer. And that's what I did. And I began to cry out to God for her healing. I said, you know, Lord, please don't punish her for my sins or something that I've done, because I knew I wasn't living right. And that was when he flooded my room with his presence, and I heard his voice, and he spoke to me, and he told me I'm not the author of sickness, and I didn't bring this upon her. And I realized, you know, what a loving God he was. I could feel his love. When the doctor said that she would not live, I heard his voice say, she will live. And it was then that I'm not sure everyone understood where I was coming from. They thought I was in denial, and I was saying, no, she's going to live. And everybody kept telling me, do you understand, you know, how dire this is? But today she's 31 years old, and she's a walking miracle. The tumors never grew, and in fact they shrunk with a lot of prayer. And she's just an amazing testimony to God. But my marriage, the first time, lasted for 10 years, and he left for the cleaning lady at work. It was a very hard time for me, and I cried out to God, and I said, you know, you've healed my daughter, and I don't understand why my marriage isn't being healed. And again, the voice of God spoke to me, and he said, I spoke to him on your behalf. He just wouldn't listen. And I realized what a perfect gentleman the Holy Spirit is and how he gives us all a free choice and a free will. I kept my faith in God, though. That didn't waver. And I believe, you know, just like the story of Job in the Bible, no matter what we go through, when we keep our faith in God, that we get blessed double for our trouble. And so I was a single mom with two children when I met my husband, Mark. And when we met, he said he believed in God, but he also knew that he wasn't living for the Lord. And when we got married, I knew that Mark drank a little bit, and it was a concern to me, but I just asked him that he please keep it away from the children. And then that started our journey.
Yeah, so you guys got married, and you move into this house, or were you already living in the house before
we
were married?
We moved into the house that we still live in today. It was an over 100-year-old home in Grafton, Ohio, and we moved into that house a year into our marriage.
Okay, a year into your marriage. And so this is where the book comes out, From Terror to Glory. I want you to share with the listeners today and through the archive, tell us what happened and how it drew you to a more intimate relationship with Christ Jesus.
When we first moved into the home, my husband worked second shift, and he would leave for work at 2:30 in the afternoon and come home about 2:30 in the morning. And I would be here alone with my two children from the previous marriage. They were 8 and 4 years old at the time. And I realized that something would come in my room and sit down on the edge of my bed. My bed would dip down. You could see the weight of where something sat down. And it would terrify me. And over time, it would lift back up as though someone got back up off the bed. And I couldn't sleep at night in the house, and I kept telling my husband, Mark, you know, there's something wrong here.
It was really getting hard for me to believe that, and it was just very hard for me to accept that. But every night I'd come home, and my wife would be, like, very frightened.
So, Mark, you would basically say, okay, to yourself, she's really lost it here because there's no such things as ghosts, or there's no one in this house. Is that what you were
right.
pretty much thinking?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking, and I was just tired. I wanted sleep.
Gotcha. So what happened, I mean, these occurrences continue to happen, though, right, Susan?
Yes, they did. I'm going to condense eight years. We lived like this for 8 years. But there were many instances. It took a while for Mark to begin to see them, but myself and the children, we noticed it quite often. There were knocks on our bedroom door at night, three knocks, and you would get up and there would be no one there, and Mark would hear that, and we, you know, your mind tries to reason it away. Maybe it was the children, and yet we would check and they would be sound asleep. We had a daughter of our own that was born during this time, and she would wake up screaming in terror at night as though, you know, something had hurt her and there would be nothing there. Pacifiers would go missing in the middle of the night, and we would be in a bedroom that was newly carpeted. And one night I just said, whatever you are, put that back. And it suddenly appeared at my husband's feet, the pacifier. There were other things, voices in the house. My little girl would play outside, and she would come in and ask me if I was playing hide-and-go-seek with her, that somebody was calling her name. I would hear my back door open during the day and someone come in, and I would be in another room and I would hear them call my children, but there was no one there. Our house filled with smoke, and the fire department would come out. My neighbor is the assistant fire chief, and he came over and he saw the smoke and thought for sure we had a fire in the walls, but it would just disappear. That happened twice. I woke up at night and there was a dark shadow leaning over my bed, the image of a man, and then it began to withdraw and just disappear into the closet. My son had blankets pulled off of him at night by unseen hands. He had a clock fly off the wall at his head. And my daughter had an angel collection, and the angels would be turned backwards when she woke up in the morning. So it began
wow.
to really, it really got severe.
So in this time frame, I'm just amazed, 8 years. When did you start to say, okay, there is something really going on here?
There was one incident that really sticks out in my mind. I think it was a turning point for me. It was a summer day and it was warm outside, and it was light outside, and I was grilling, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye a dark shadow come down the steps from our, and it really caught me by surprise, and I definitely seen something, and so I tried to think if it might have been a black dog or an airplane going overhead, but there was nothing that I could think of that it would be other than a dark shadow going down the back steps. And when I saw that, I looked at my wife, who was like on the other side of the driveway kind of, and she looked at me, and she knew that I saw something, and she was kind of happy, actually.
He finally believes me.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
There was one other.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd love to hear it.
There was one other incident, too, that really caught me by surprise also, was that the phone rang at about 3 o'clock in the morning, which isn't fun anyways, but I answered the phone, and I got screamed at by this old-sounding lady saying, you tell Sue this is my house. This is my house. You tell Sue that. And that really upset me.
Yeah, absolutely. So that really was just another part of saying, okay, this is confirmation here. There is something really demonic here in this house. And what made you guys, I mean, what point did it take to say, okay, we've had enough. This is our house. We are going to take dominion of our house. This is ours. So what happened?
Well, it was a little bit of a journey. We had inquired of the neighbors, and we found out that the man that lived here before us had committed suicide. There was a lot of difficulties with them, and they had owned the house for 20 years prior to us. But people kept saying, you know, that that's that gentleman and you need to talk to him. And I just knew in my heart and in my spirit that I didn't want to converse with anything. I didn't feel like this was any kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean, things took a dire turn. It started to get worse. I believe in when the scripture says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, that we were on his hit list. And my daughter began to get unexplainably sick. Only on a Tuesday morning at 4 a.m. she would start vomiting, but by the time the sun came up, she would be fine. This happened every week on a regular basis, unexplainably. Doctors could find nothing wrong. Our hot water tank began to backdraft carbon monoxide into our home, and the fire department thought perhaps the pipe was blocked, that we took the pipe apart and there was no blockage. They raised it higher, put new pipe on there, and it still would occasionally backdraft and the alarms would go off just unexplainably and randomly. And so this caused me to realize I had started taking some pictures around the house, and there were some very demonic faces that showed up in a curio cabinet. And it was then that I realized this is something that is pure evil. Mark's demeanor and countenance, personality changed when we moved into the house over time. And although he drank when we first met, he began to get consumed with alcohol. He was hiding it around the house. And I remember one day coming home and finding him, you know, he had drank quite a bit, and it led to an argument. And I found some alcohol that he had hidden in the house, and I broke the bottle on the floor, and I said to him, I can't take this anymore. We're going to have to, you know, fix this, or I'm going to have to leave for a while, and you come look me and the children up when you get your life in order. And I heard him mock me, and it was a mocking voice of, you know, go ahead, you know, leave, I don't care. And then when I turned around and looked at him, he then changed, and he was the Mark that I loved, and he began to cry, saying, please don't leave me, Sue. And it was then that I believe the Lord let me see the man that I love, and then something that had gotten on him that wasn't him. And so I saw the difference, and it gave me a little hope to hang on. And it was on Thanksgiving when Mark's mother and a team from her church came, and I started explaining, you know, what was going on in the house. She said they had been taking classes on redeeming the land, and they had read the book that Gwen Shaw had written on redeeming the land. And so she said, we can really help you with this. At this time, Mark had given his heart to the Lord. He had gotten on his knees in the living room, and at first he didn't want to even surrender to the Lord yet, because he said, I'm not proud of how I'm living, and let me clean myself up first, and then I'll give my heart to the Lord. And I said, you know, Mark, give your heart to the Lord and let him deal with the rest. And so he did. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. The alcoholism didn't go right away, but when this team of people came out to pray with us in our home, they explained how the demonic works and how in other countries they understand this even more than America does. And so they started to teach us about toys even and how they have demonic undertones to them. And they spoke about Pokemon and what that character means and some other popular toys that are out there on the market, and how Pikachu means spirit of death. And they talked about, you know, music. Mark felt driven by some of the old, you know, rock bands and like Black Sabbath and things like that at the time. And they talked about, you know, how, yeah, we all have a past and a history, but they started to explain how some of that stuff was demonically even influenced and written, and how it gets in our spirit and changes our countenance. So it was during this time of them speaking to us that our eyes were opened so quickly. I mean, we were just shocked. Why didn't someone tell us that, you know, the demonic is really this real? We've seen it firsthand, but no one explained it to us. I went looking in all the wrong sources for answers. I went to ghost hunters. I had them come out to my home thinking this would help, and instead they brought demonic tools with them, divining rods, pendulums, and what it did is it just magnified the problem. It fed those evil spirits. But on one night of prayer with a team of people, my husband lifted his hands and he said, you know, God, I want to give up drinking, but I don't think that I can. And it was then that he said, but God, I know you're big enough to take it away from me. and he raised his hands, and I saw this spirit of addiction to alcohol. I watched it just leave him. And from that day on, Mark has never desired to have a drink again. So he was totally set free that night.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, Mark, you know, I mean, you're a phenomenal, gifted, anointed drummer. And we've talked about this before. And, you know, Satan, the chief musician, you know, he tries to distort music today. And if he could get your focus off of what God had planned for you, oh my gosh, but he lost. He's a defeated foe. Praise God. And you guys have received the victory. And you went in there, actually Mark's mom and a team, and you went through the whole house. So what happened as all of you were going through the house?
Well, as we began to pray, we repented ourselves for all of our sins, anything that we had done that could have opened the door to this. I mean, the Lord had me go back, and he reminded me of all those childhood games that I thought were innocent that weren't so innocent. And I just repented of all of that. And we began to just, they anointed our hands with oil. We prayed together. I believe this is where a team comes in, because as I watched this team of prayer warriors come together, they would have words of knowledge. And I know there was one lady that felt like, and I don't know, this hasn't been proven, but that there had been some kind of demonic sacrifice or bloodshed. And they explained to us that when that happens on property, the only thing that can cover that is the blood of Jesus, which is communion. You know, when we take communion, yeah, we're redeeming this land. And so they talked about where there's demonic bloodshed, that communion is a powerful tool in order to redeem that land. So we began to pray in every room in the house. And as this team discerned different things, we would pray to break it off in the name of Jesus. We were in full agreement. We went to that upstairs part of the house where we had the most activity, and this demon began to just stomp on the floor as they prayed. And this was in front of many people, and it began to stomp so hard that the upstairs was rattling. And I ran out of the room in fear, and I said, I can't do this. And so they caught me, and they said, Sue, you've got a spirit of fear on you. Pray to have that spirit of fear loose you. And I could barely even speak, and I said, you spirit of fear, you loose me now in Jesus' name. And when I said that, I felt fear leave me for the first time. I used to have anxiety attacks and panic attacks, and that all left me that night. And I had confidence in the Lord and what he had called me to do, and I knew that I had to go in that room myself and command this evil spirit to leave our home as well. And as we did that, the bed began to shake, but we just kept praying and commanding it to leave. And when it left, the whole atmosphere of our home changed. It was going from darkness into light. We had such peace. For the first time in 8 years, I could sleep at night and look around the house and the room and not be afraid any longer. It was truly gone.
Wow. So you guys still live in that house, don't you?
We do. And the Lord really delivered us out of terror and led us into his glory. It was after that that we had many phone calls from people wanting us to come and pray in their homes. And we don't go in and shake our fists at things. We try to teach others how to take back their lives and land for Jesus Christ. We tell them our story and our testimony, and we agree to pray with them, but they're the ones that have the authority to do that in their home. And so we're just there to support them while they do that. And from there, the Lord began to show us his miracles, signs, and wonders. And that's when we began to see the glory of the Lord. And we've seen many of those things. I know there's false signs and wonders, and I know that we have to all be careful. But I have truly seen his glory. He caused it to rain gold dust on me during a worship service, and it fell like snow. And at first I thought I was the only one witnessing it when others came over and said, look, it's raining gold on her. We don't see it as much today, but at times when we're praying for someone else, it'll come on them. It'll come on their shirt or their clothing. And I just think it's for the unbeliever. The Bible says these things shall follow those that believe. And I think God's just trying to reveal more of himself to the unbeliever so that they realize his power and glory.
Amen. And a great indication to show where it's coming from is the Lord is always love. And when you look at the enemy, he brings fear. And so it's just, I tell you, your story is just so powerful. And like you said, now both you and Mark are in ministry. The signs and wonders are following you. The prophetic in your life is absolutely strong and pinpointed. Miracles are happening. Just share a couple of the miracles now that are happening in your meetings.
We've seen a lot of healing. We were praying for a gentleman in Pennsylvania. He had tumors on his lungs. And I just knew in the spirit that when he stood up in the back to come forward for prayer that God was healing him right then. It's nothing that Mark and Sue were doing. It's just going in the name of Jesus. And mm-hmm. as that man heard our testimony, he heard something that stirred up the life of Christ in him. And as he began to stand up and hope was renewed, the Lord was really touching his body. And so when he went back to the doctor, those tumors had shrunk so much that they told him there was no reason to come back for a whole year. And I prayed for I prayed for a lady that had a cyst, some kind of a growth on her jaw. Wasn't sure if it was an infection or what that was, but there was a huge lump on her jaw. And as I laid my hands on her jaw and began to pray, it just dissipated under my hand. And I needed a chair to sit down, I think, as much as she did, because God amazes me just as much as is the person that's been healed. And, we've seen so much. I've been in services where the gemstones have fallen from heaven, and people say, why would God do these things? And Scripture says he's coming back for a glorious and a spotless bride, and I believe he's just showering his bride, the church, with his glory. We have to be a testimony to others, and it's going to come with power and might.
Amen, amen. And it's so true that signs and wonders do draw the unbeliever, and it's just so unfortunate so many times that it's a lying wonder that they've, attached themselves to by, witches. I mean, you look at Saul and the witch of Endor, and how he did not call upon the Lord, but he needed an answer, and so he went to the witch of Endor. And, the Lord so frowns against that. He's grieved, and he commands that we do not do that. And yet so many do. And, there is victory in Christ Jesus. There's healing. There's signs and wonders. There's freedom. There's love. It's all in him. And you guys have such a love when you minister that it's just so beautiful that things happen in that, because God is love. It's just wonderful. And I want to ask my husband, too, if he has any questions, because sometimes I just get so often, I leave him out on the sidelines. Hey, babe.
I just wanted to say how much we enjoyed when they came to minister. And I was thinking about, people get so wrapped up. I know in Colorado they have the Stanley Hotel. And people get excited when they start talking about ghosts. It's like people are looking for that's something, whether it's in the paranormal or whether it's in supernatural. And the Bible tells us to test all spirits, and we need to do that. We need to make sure we do that.
Right. I agree. There's just such a fascination with that.
Yeah, very unhealthy fascination with that.
I believe what people are looking for is to have something to believe in that they can see or that's tangible. And I think in some ways that's how we as the church have failed to show forth the power and glory of God, because we do serve a supernatural God. I think it's a natural instinct in them to want to see the supernatural side. They're just looking in all the wrong places. It's a deadly trap. They don't realize that they're inviting something in that wants to literally kill, steal, and destroy when they go out hunting to speak with spirits. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. That's all we need to converse with.
That's powerful, because that leads me into a question that there are some in ministry that seek out the paranormal. We've heard of them. Converse with these spirits. What do you say about that, Susan? I mean, they actually believe that they can tell these spirits to go back where they belong, converse with them, and so forth. What's your thought on that?
Well, I don't think they realize that our God is a jealous God. You know, he comes all of our worship to him. He doesn't want us seeking answers from, you know, the dark side or anything else. And, you know, when people told me that what was in my house was just that man that had passed away, you know, I don't know all things. I don't know, you know, the boundaries or what God might allow in a certain situation. But I do know that the enemy, the devil, he's a trickster, and he has demons on assignment that are trying to confuse and fool people. And so you might be conversing with something that you would think is a loved one, when in fact it's a familiar spirit, a demonic spirit that's coming just to try to get you to get your focus off of God. We have to trust that our loved ones are on this side of glory, you know, on the other side of glory in heaven, and that we will see them again and rest in the peace that God has them, instead of seeking out to continue to converse. We can be fooled, you know. One of Mark's favorite scriptures is in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where it specifically, you know, it's very clear that it says, "There shall not be any among you, anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that uses divination or an observer of the times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord." And he doesn't want us seeking these things out. We can be so quickly fooled, and then it's our own lives and our own health and the health of our family that's on the line.
Absolutely, because I remember you had mentioned in regards to the health of our families and so forth that you had spoken to a lot of these Ghostbuster type of people that go in believing that, you know, they can get these demons, these ghosts out of the house. But what starts to happen, tell us, I can go into that, but I want you to share what happens to their family and how it's really, you know, a trap that the enemy sets up for them.
We met a woman and had gone into her home. She was very ill and was just crying out for help and had come to the church for help. And so they asked us to go and pray with her in her home. She had had many of these different types of people into her home. Someone came in, a priest, and he wrote numerology on the doorposts of her rooms, numbers. And you know, and not to speak against any one denomination or any one type of faith, I just know that, you know, numerology, while I know God is also God of numbers, we can't put our faith in a formula, you know. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so there were formulas written all over her house. She had a woman come in who claimed to be a Christian. And I'm sure she had her own sense of faith, but what she brought with her was a twisted doctrine. She actually put shellacked dead animal bones under the woman's mattress and told her that they would protect her, when in fact she's just trying to curse. And someone else brought in these Italian seeds and told her to put those on the windows and nothing would come in. And by the time we got to the woman, she was so confused and had tried so many different things. But when we were there, she did a spiritual house cleaning, and all that stuff, you know, was removed. Her health immediately improved after truth was spoken.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Go ahead,
it's just
babe.
Amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing how many different things that people will try. There's even, I know a lot of people in a certain faith that they'll bury a statue upside down in their yard just to sell the house if the house won't sell. I mean, all
right.
These silly, but, the devil does have power. I mean, the Bible talks about lying wonders in the last days. We need to know what the truth of the word says. But one thing, whenever the devil does something, it always leads to death. Destruction, steal, kill, destroy. That's his mission. And so for people looking for, I don't know, I think they're looking for power or something. You know, they get into the dark side, and they don't understand the doors that they're opening. You know, whether it was that house that you were in or familiar spirits that follow people and know their history or, you know, the Bible talks about 1,000 generations, and it talks about, blessings and cursings. And so we need to speak life in every situation, but, you know, we need to speak truth and love.
Amen. Yeah, I believe that, honey, because, you know, the truth will set us free. And that's why one of the reasons, too, why I wanted both Sue and Mark on the line tonight, because, again, there are a lot of people that have been intrigued with the dark side, and we want to give them the truth about what it really is that they're tapping into, and then to give them life and life more abundantly and all that they could ever imagine or hope for in Christ Jesus. And so for those, Susan and Mark, who have dabbled in this thing, that are listening on the line right now and said, oh my gosh, I've seen those things in my house, I've heard voices, what do I do? Talk to them right now.
Well, I would advise them to, seek out the Lord in his fullness. It's one thing to serve the Lord religiously, but it's another to start to come into understanding of his great power and might. I know the Lord spoke to me before I went on TV in Louisville, Kentucky, to speak about this very same thing. And he said, it's not my will that any should perish. It's not my will that any should live in fear. And I felt his heart crying out to the people. You know, I didn't have to live like this for 8 years. If somebody would have told me, you know, how to get rid of it or how to pray with authority, he said in his word that we would do the things that Jesus did and then greater, that we can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I think what happens is we start to feel frail and afraid instead of realizing we have power and might and authority, and it was God-given. So when we come into a relationship with Christ Jesus, we have the authority to speak to these things and know that they have to flee. I tell everybody, the devil knocks. He's always going to knock. But what he really wants to know is, how much do you know? Do you know your power in Jesus Christ? Do you know your authority in Jesus Christ?
Do you know Jesus Christ?
Amen. Do you know
that's
Jesus?
The first
Amen.
Step right there. Yeah.
And so what we recommend is to try and get the whole family on the same page. If you have a family member that is delving into things in their bedroom that they shouldn't be doing, you know, we can pray and we can take authority, but, you know, it's a dangerous game to play. The one thing Mark said is, if we're going to do this, I want to mean it. And I noticed when Mark spoke in our household, even before we had the knowledge that we have today, there was a time he was so frustrated, and he said, whatever you are in this house, you have to go, because I can't sell this house. I can't afford it. You've got to quit. And I noticed it just quit for about 3 months, and I thought, wow, why did it listen to Mark? And it's because Mark is the head of our household. He's the spiritual head of our household, and even if he didn't realize that, the demonic knew that. There's a God-given authority. And so I believe the men need to rise up, the spiritual head of their household, and the women as well know their authority in Jesus Christ. When they all come together, there's great things that can happen. But we don't go into a home and start casting things out if they're not on the same page, because to go back and live that lifestyle, Scripture also says that it can come back seven times greater. And so it's not to put anybody in fear, but you have to keep those doors closed. You have to be sold out for Jesus Christ. And if you fall, and we all do, you have to be quick to repent, to close those doors again.
Amen. Wow. Amen. So the first to receive Christ Jesus into your heart.
Yes.
As your Lord and Savior, would you say a prayer for those out there right now, Susan, who have perhaps not gone to that point yet and are wanting to right now?
Yes, for those of you listening that haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd just like to invite you to say this prayer with me. Lord, I realize that your word even says, Lord God, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And, Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner, Lord, and that I need a Savior. And so, Father, I just ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. He went to the cross for me. He died for me. He died so that I might live. And, Lord, I receive that gift today. I receive that gift of life and salvation in you. And, Lord, I choose it in faith. And, Lord, I invite you to come in and be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Honey, I just wanted to say real quick that we're in a season where there's, you know, there's joy and there's celebration. And if we think about celebrating the birth of Christ, you know, a lot of times we don't realize how many people, there's more suicides in this month than there is in any other month of the year. And I just want to speak to people that are listening, even if they're depressed. No matter what you feel, God has a great plan in store for you. And, honey, I just want to have you give out the prayer line. They can call us. They can call Susan and Mark. Whatever. If you're in need of prayer, please call, because we care.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the prayer line is 717-414-3449. And if the line is busy, please leave a message with your information and keep calling back, and someone will call you as soon as possible. And please, you can always drop us an email at contact@poppm.org, or contact Sue and Mark over at TrueBlessingsMinistries.com. We are there for you. We are excited for those who receive Christ Jesus tonight. We celebrate with you, and all the angels in heaven are celebrating. This is the step that you needed to take for victory. And we are just so happy that Mark and Susan were on the line with us tonight. And Susan, Mark, are you... do you have a word of knowledge or anything that the Lord is showing you right at this time that you wanted to speak out and declare?
I do. I believe that there are many that are listening tonight that have struggled with things, and they feel like already they've sought the Lord and they've sought counsel, but they feel like they're just stuck in this situation. And I just want to speak to you and give you hope tonight. You know, it took me 8 years to get totally and completely set free of what was going on in this house. But God has a plan, and he has a purpose for you. He hasn't forgotten you. You haven't missed it. God is sending right now warring angels to your situation. He is the God Almighty, and he's coming to your aid. We are living in a time when the enemy is doing what he does best. He's trying to discourage. He's trying to hinder. He's trying to depress. If he can get you to give up, then the enemy wins. But God is speaking hope, and he's speaking life, and he's speaking joy, and he's also speaking restoration. This is a season where God is restoring relationships, and he's bringing things back into the households that we're missing, and he is the great God, and so just rest assured, he's got you safe in the palm of his hands.
Hallelujah. You know, I love the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, and for those who don't know it, it says that I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope. For those who call upon him, he shall give you a future and a hope. You know, I'm reminded of David and Samuel, just anointing him with the oil, and no one thought it would be David, but he was anointed for the assignment. And God has called you for this time and season, and you're anointed for the assignment. The enemy, like we've been talking about, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but the Father gives life and life more abundantly. So again, please, if you have a prayer request, have a question, contact TrueBlessingsMinistries.com. Contact our ministry either on Upfront in the Prophetic Radio or at popum.org. Mark, how about you? Are you sensing anything or wanted to share anything else before we close? We've got about 5 minutes.
I'd just like to say that the most important thing, though, is that you ask the Lord into your heart. It's a free gift from him. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. It's there for the taking. And just ask him into your heart. For the unbelievers out there, I'm telling
Amen.
You, my life has changed so completely over the years. More than my wildest dreams.
That's powerful, Mark. You know, because so many people, they see us where we are right now, not knowing that we all had to go through a journey, a process to get where we are today. So please receive him, ask him in, you know, just wherever you are, even driving in your car, listening to this broadcast on your bed, wherever you are, you know, taste and see that he truly is so good. That's what the word says, and the word is life and truth. Come and grab a hold of it, eat it, read it. And I tell you, just open the word and say, Lord, if this is for sure and this is true, then speak to me through this. And he will. He will, because he loves you. Oh, my goodness. How exciting. Again, guys, TrueBlessingsMinistries.com. Hey, guys, where are you guys? Do you have any conferences coming up, or where are you going to be?
Actually, we have several different conferences throughout the year near Cleveland, Ohio. The next one's coming up in January, and I'm trying to get to the page here to look at the date. We're always doing something. let me
That's
get to
awesome.
It. But we
sure.
About every 3 months we hold. We believe in getting the whole body of Christ together. You know, we believe in the fivefold ministry. And we have many friends that are in the ministry that are pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets. We get them all together at these conferences, and we let them do what God's called them to do, and we get to step back and watch it in full operation. Coming up on January 25th, we're having a winter gathering in North Olmsted, Ohio. It's on the website.
Okay, awesome.
Amen.
So they can head on over to your ministry. Great.
Get
That's
the book,
awesome.
Honey.
Yeah, the book. Oh, my gosh, the book.
Get
yes,
a taste of
please.
Them for you and a friend.
Yes,
give them
absolutely.
Out as gifts for Christmas.
Yeah, you know what, honey, you're absolutely right. And, gosh, you know, there were some other things I wanted to chat about, but we'll have to have them on the air again. But, yeah, the book, From Terror to Glory. If you know anyone that is just fascinated with the paranormal, with the supernatural, even your pastors, come on now, they need a clue. Hello. Get them the book From Terror to Glory. Get a case. Give them to your family members, brothers, sisters.
Christmas
this is a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, honey. Come on. How much is the book, by the way?
Actually, we just asked for a donation of $11. So it's
awesome.
It's a great ministry tool. It's, a lot of people have been set free by reading it.
Hallelujah.
And they will be set free. Amen. Again, yeah. My gosh, From Terror to Glory. You know, because there's so many people are getting all these gifts, but get one that changes a life.
Amen.
God. Amen. Well, we're excited for you guys because, you know, I really see that your ministry is just going to explode. 2014 is going to be a great year for you guys of open doors and major seminars, and I just see arenas, and people are hungry. People are hungry, and you guys share the truth. We love the love that you share, and the truth is just is the heart of the Father. So we thank you guys for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, too, for having us.
It's been a blessing.
Amen. Well, you guys are a blessing. And, honey, did you have anything else before we close out that you'd like to share, or if any of
I just want to say how much we enjoyed having them. And you're going to be blessed if you're a ministry or you know a ministry that needs to be blessed, because a lot of people were impacted, not only by the testimony, but the words of knowledge they carry is very strong. And I would just recommend them to any ministry you know that wants to be blessed.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much. We enjoyed you guys. What a great ministry you have there in Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, my sister and my brother from another mother. we love you guys. Keep us in prayer, too. You know, being in that area, you know, where there was bloodshed, but, you know, the Lord has an awesome work there, and people are coming to the Lord, and instead of the ghost tours, hallelujah, we have the Holy Ghost, and we're excited about what he's doing there, and setting the people free, allowing to see the glory of the Lord in Gettysburg. So keep us in prayer. We appreciate that, guys. And again, head on over to their ministry, True Blessings Ministry. Buy a case of the book, From Terror to Glory. Let them know how you were blessed by hearing their testimony tonight. For those intercessors, intercede for them by the Holy Spirit. Go into their ministry because they need, you know, we all need the funds to travel and get these books out. So bless them. Bless them, guys. And I want to thank everyone that listened in on the show tonight, the Upfront in the Prophetic. We love you guys. I'd love to hear any of your comments. And we appreciate all that you guys are doing in regards to interceding for us, too. Hop on over to our website, Popm, that's POPPM.org, and you can see the upcoming events, different guest speakers, and events that we have going on throughout the month. I know that this Friday we will have setting the stage for 2014, exciting times that we're entering into. And then, of course, on the 3rd of January, we're going to have a phenomenal night of healing. I believe that there's the fullness of Christ Jesus is just really manifesting in 2014 and so on. So bless you guys. Hey, and if you want to give to our ministry, we appreciate it. Helps us stay on the air and do what we need to do for the Lord and for other outreaches out there to help the people. So again, hey, everyone, thanks for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic. God bless you, and we'll just leave with Warrior.
Oh Lord, give us